Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it is also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Oh, what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of Christ, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and for those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. Now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. One way to think about the letters that Paul writes are to think of them in one sense as prescriptions, as one sense of a doctor visiting, a doctor in this case of the church, a doctor of the souls of people visiting local churches or visiting via letter in this case, and giving instructions, dealing with particular problems, dealing with particular struggles, giving advice, giving counsel and direction on how to proceed. And if we were to categorize the book of Colossians in the realm of doctor or hospital visits, we might call it a well-child checkup. A well-child checkup. And we'll see how that kind of comes out in the structure of the book and how it plays out a little bit. But when we go on one of these well-child checkups or any sort of visit to the doctor's office, we first of all are to fill out the intake sheet. Give us the basic information about you and your situation. And on Colossae's intake sheet, we would find that this is and we find in the book very clearly that this is a young church. It's a newer group of believers. We don't have a particular birth date for this church, but Paul is probably writing this letter around the year 62. And he testifies to the fact that he's in prison. There's a time period there in his life. And so this church was presumably founded in the last couple years, 3-4 years even, previous to the year 62. Paul is in prison, as I already said. We read that in chapter 4, verse 18, and chapter 1, verse 4, and chapter 2, verse 1, and these sorts of places make very clear that Paul has never been to Colossae. He has not met these people, and yet he has a heart for them. So we might say that the patient here is Colossae, this well-child checkup, and that the attending physician, in this case, is the Apostle Paul. Paul is picking up here in a church that had been planted by Epaphras, and he is mentioned several times. First of all, in chapter 1, verse 7, and people think that Epaphras not only planted Colossae, but probably also the churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis, which were neighboring towns. Now, where is Colossae? Well, Colossae is inland from Ephesus in what is now modern-day Turkey. And it is, and Paul, on his previous missionary journeys to this one, had generally stayed along the coast, hitting key cities along the coast, and so he had presumably or arguably perhaps Epaphras had heard Paul preaching in Ephesus and had then taken the gospel back to his home community in Colossae. The book of Colossians, interestingly enough, out of all the New Testament epistles, is written to the least significant city of all the New Testament epistles. The others are much more noteworthy cities, of course, like Rome, Ephesus, Corinth. But Colossae is a little bit of a backwater town, and yet Paul still had an affection and concern for these folks. Other noteworthy facts about the church in Colossae, it would seem that a noteworthy member of this church who you would be aware of would be Philemon. And Onesimus is sent along with this letter, probably also carrying the letter of Philemon. And Onesimus, remember, who was a runaway slave of Philemon, is now returning back, presumably with not only this letter in tow, but also words of introduction about his particular case, words addressed particularly to Philemon. Paul, the attending physician, is probably in prison in Rome as he sends these words to the church. Now, I've said that this is probably or arguably a well-chilled checkup, and from thinking of it in that regard comes our 2 points this evening. So if you want to have 3 points, you could have the intake sheet as your first point. Your second point then would be, or what is my first point, would be vaccinated by Christ against temptations. Now, you have all been on a variety of doctor and hospital visits. There are times that we go to the doctor with a particular problem that we want to get addressed. Maybe it is a sore throat that we want the doctor to look at. Maybe it is a stiff joint. I've been having shoulder trouble. We might tell our doctor. Maybe it's a broken bone that has us at the emergency room. Maybe it's shortness of breath that has us at the emergency room. Something like this. So we often think of trips to the doctor as regarding certain sicknesses. And many of Paul's letters are similar to that. And you can think about letters like the epistle to the Galatians, where people had come in, the Judaizers had come in and preached a different gospel, which was, of course, as Paul says, no gospel at all. This is not the gospel, and I'm writing these things because basically you've got poison in your systems. You can think about the letters to the Corinthians, a church that was overwhelmed with a lot of immorality, people living according to the flesh, people trying to walk in, quote, godliness, and yet bring so much of the world into their lives and continue in former patterns of sin. Consequently, because Paul is so often dealing with these acute situations in the church, people come to the book of Colossians and they say, well, what's the particular acute situation here in Colossae that he is addressing? And over the last 2 centuries, at least according to one commentary that I have, there have been at least 44 different hypotheses of what the particular Colossian heresy was. 44 ideas about, as we read through and comb through this, here must be the heresy that Paul is addressing here. However, I think, as I read Colossians, as I study through these lists of heresies, it seems to me that our scholars are protesting or searching just a little too hard for something wrong in Colossae. There must be something wrong. Paul's writing them. No, there are other reasons why Paul would take an interest. There are other concerns that he might have. And this insistence on the fact that there had to be some sort of a heresy that is being dealt with reminds me of my experience several years ago in the hospital in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And I don't know if this is just a Pennsylvania thing, but it seemed as if every time a nurse came into my room, they needed to ask me not only my name and birth date, but have you ever smoked? And when is the last time you smoked? And after 3 days of this, I haven't smoked. I haven't smoked in the last 15 minutes since the last nurse asked me this. Can you just leave me alone on this smoking thing? You know, do the nurses need some cigarettes? I don't have any to help you out. There has to be a heresy here somewhere. There's got to be something wrong. And I instead would submit to you that Paul here is concerned. He knows there's a lot of false teaching buzzing around. He knows there's a lot of bad habits that young Christians and young churches can get into. But that there's not one particular false teaching, one particular heresy, one particular bad habit that he is addressing. Instead, we see Paul taking the approach of, in this well-child checkup, I want you to stay well, and so we have some vaccinations for you today. And the overall label, if you want to think about it, on the vaccination syringe is Christ, the preeminence of Christ. And so then in chapter 2, largely, although not exclusively, when he goes through the temptations that will come, that people are going to come trying to tempt you with empty philosophies. People will try to come deceiving you. People are going to try to come saying, Christ is a good first step, but he's not enough. Paul here in Colossians inoculates the church by saying, Jesus Christ is enough. You are complete in him. And so there are external threats that Paul is concerned to inoculate the church against. In addition, largely in chapter 3, we see that there are internal threats as well. And you know that there are some things that you struggle with in life, and this starts at a very young age, that you try to point out that the neighbor boy made me do it, right? It was the neighbor boy's influence. It was his idea, Mom. It was not my idea. I'm not responsible in the same way. It was a bad influence. Okay, so we need to be inoculated against that, but of course, just as often as the neighbor boy gets us in trouble, our own heart gets us in trouble. And chapter 3 deals with not so much the external threats that the church in Colossae was faced with, but the internal threats that the church and that the individual believers were faced with. And there's here the threat of antinomianism, the idea that, yeah, I'm in Christ, but I can continue in carnal living. And so Christ has paid the penalty for my sin, but I'll just continue living in whatever way I want as a way of saying thanks to him. You know, thanks for saving me. Now I'll continue in my sin. And so Paul says, no, that's not an option. That's not the call. He also inoculates them by calling them in chapter 3 to patterns of obedience as well. That instead of being overcome by sin, instead of just laying open to suggestions of sin, busy yourselves in living righteously. You are a transformed people. And so at this well child visit, we have this child, the church at Colossae, and they get at this visit a dose of the Lord Jesus Christ. A dose of Christ that says, Christ completes you. You are complete in him. Don't be captivated by empty philosophies. Continue pursuing Christ. You've been cleansed through his blood. Walk in his ways. You've been made new people, new creations in Christ. And so we have, first of all, at this visit, a vaccination, vaccinated through Christ. But that's not the only thing that Paul calls them to. It's not the only doctor's order that they leave this visit with. And the second order that they leave the doctor's visit with is, just like we would expect out of a healthy child, you know, a well-child checkup, you need to continue to nourish and to be exercised toward godliness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nourished by Christ for Christian growth. So there's a safeguarding against disease, against future trouble, and then there's also instructions in focusing in on Christ so that you might continue to grow. And this is true, of course, whether someone is a brand new believer or whether you have been in the Lord for a long time. There are many things that vie for centrality in your life. There are many things that can distract you and that can sell themselves to you as the central concern of the Christian life. But Paul focuses here in this letter our attention and the attention of the church on the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So recognizing that if we are nourished through Christ, that the church will grow, that we will be strengthened, and that in being strengthened through Christ, that we will be protected from a variety of and hosts of problems. Paul then, in particular, and in the book of Colossians, focuses their attention on what we would call the already of the Christian life, the already of the ministry of Christ. And he does this in order to encourage them in right living. Now, I'm not going to explain all of this tonight. We'll be going into this over the next several months. But there's a contrast in the pages of Scripture between the already's and the not yet's of the Christian life. That we are already certain things through the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are not yet other things. And Paul here focuses, let's take a look at a few of these texts. Chapter 2. Verse 10, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. He doesn't say, look forward to heaven because someday you will be complete. He says, you are complete in him. Chapter 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You were raised in Christ. If you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is not only the resurrection day of Christ, the day that we remember that he rose again, but we also remember that we were raised up with him to newness of life. 3:3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, and so on and so forth. Many, many appeals in the book of Colossians to the things that we already are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is important, and like I said, we will explore this more, but often in the Christian life, our focus can be just on the not yet. I'm not yet perfectly holy. I'm not yet loving the Lord as I ought to. I long for righteousness in the new heavens and new earth. And those are all appropriate sentiments. In fact, in, for instance, the book of 1 Corinthians, by contrast, Paul argues a lot more from the not yet than he does from the already. So in 1 Corinthians, for instance, and you can think about this with chapter 15, where Paul goes through this great exposition of the resurrection and of the great victory that will be ours in the bodily resurrection. And then from that perspective, looking forward and saying, we will be raised, we will be given resurrected bodies, he says, therefore, be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because you will be this, do these things today. By contrast, here in the book of Colossians, Paul argues, because all of these things have already been done, because they've already been applied to you, because they are already true for you, therefore, and then he goes into all sorts of implications for our lives. So Paul argues from the already to encourage us in paths of godliness. Look at Colossians 2:6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So that could be one summary statement of this arguing from the already. And it's important for us to hear this already because it directly addresses our temptation to make excuses for our sin and to postpone sanctification and to say, well, we can get to that later because we have these promises about the future. And so that's a good thing for us to work on for another day. But Paul here says, no, no, you are already complete in Christ. Ultimately, this book of Colossians is a book, as you might guess, and as you heard as we read it, a book of grand and glorious Christology, of just how wonderfully glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is, and how he is, and focusing on him, he is the one who will keep us from sin, keep us from heresy, keep us from wickedness, and he is also the one who will grow us in godliness as we focus on him. I would say that the key word of the book of Colossians is found in verse 18 of chapter 1, preeminence. Preeminence. That Christ Jesus is the preeminent one, and that as such that we are called to honor him and to live as if he is the preeminent one, both in our own lives and in our church as well. And so the call of the book of Colossians, very simply, is that you are to know Christ and who you are in him so that you might walk worthy of him. So that we might walk worthy of the one who called us, we need to know him and know who we are in him. And may God bless us as we go through this book of Colossians together in the upcoming months. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word, and we proclaim once again that the entrance of your word gives light. And Lord, we need that light. And Lord, we need the protection that your word offers against sin, against the temptations of this world. And Lord, it's our desire, truly is our desire, that we would grow in Christ, that we would grow in the knowledge of him, that we would grow in obedience to him. And we pray that you would use the book of Colossians in our lives to make us look more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that our lives would reflect the preeminence that is Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.